welcome again to the
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Bishop Jerome Jones, and today I'm once again simulcasting throughout the radio world on the World Wide Web, and we're also coming to you by way of social media. And I want to take time to just say, get ready for an exciting time in the Word of God. We're in the Book of Acts, and I'm excited about this opportunity to share this with you. And I'm going to be talking with you about from the Word of God in the Book of Acts, and the subject matter for this series of lessons is, where is that church that we see in the Book of Acts? And we're going to walk through the Book of Acts and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and direct us into the depths of the truth. So if you're listening by means of radio, we want to say God bless you. If you're watching by means of the video, we're saying God bless you as well, and we count it a privilege that you have taken the time to be with us today. But we know that this is not an accident that you are here, that God has purpose in mind for you. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly where all of us are, and He is going to minister to your particular situation as you follow along with us and join in with us as we go through this study in the Book of Acts. Where is that church of the day? Again, I'm Bishop Jerome Jones, coming to you from JJ House of Reconciliation and Ministers and Academic School. We're right here in Fruitland Park, and we count it a privilege to have this honor to come and share with you today. Now, let's get right into the Word, because if you saw the last clip, we got right up to the script almost in the Book of Acts. Now, we're talking about that church of today versus the church that we see in the Book of Acts. And as we go through the Book of Acts, we're going to see that the saints of God in the Book of Acts are far different than what we see in today's church. Now, I'm not here to bash the church. I'm not here. I want to say this up front. There isn't an organization on the planet today that I would rather be in than the church. With all her problems, I would rather be in the church than be in any other organization, because it's the only organization that really counts when it comes to eternity. So I want to say this up front. But with that being said, we have much to do to resemble the church that God is coming back for. So I want us to go into the Word of God and just let the Word of God just kind of be our roadmap, and the Holy Spirit be our director. So let's go and look at the Word of God. Now, this is going to be thought-provoking, and it is intended to be. This is not your everyday, common, run-of-the-mill time in the Word. This is a time where we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds and hearts, cause us to be challenged in every part of our belief system, so that we might truly have true fellowship with Him. So let's look now. I want to read something in the book of Romans where we left off as the prelude to this particular chapter, and then we're going to go back and just bring you up to speed with where we are going to launch our study from. But look at Romans chapter 6, because there was something that was very interesting in this particular passage that we should notice today. Paul is talking about the saints, and he is commending them, actually, because look what he says in chapter 1 of Romans. He says words like this in the very first chapter. Let's start reading. Let's just go down to verse 4. It says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That's what I want to talk about just for a moment. Here's some Christians in the first century. This is a church in the first century. And Paul is saying your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, I'm sitting here in my bedroom and talking to you that are perhaps miles and hundreds and perhaps thousands of miles away. But they did not have internet. They did not have satellite. They did not have the telephone. They did not have the technology and the software that we have today. Yet their faith now, listen, notice what he said. Their faith is what is being talked about all over the world. Now, that's a testimony. Now, I want us to remember that, because that's the kind of life that God has vested in every child of God. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1, because we want to get into some of this today, and then we're going to be going throughout the scriptures, because, you see, we must say what the scripture says. We must not just give our opinions, because actually dead men don't have an opinion. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about that, but as we get into the scripture, one of the things that Jesus taught, and I want to go back to this just in this summarization so that we can at least understand where we are. And we read a passage in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter. So let's do ourselves a favor and go back to that particular chapter again, Luke chapter 14. And I hope you are writing these scriptures down. I hope you will keep these to go over them, because this will help you in understanding how we are to be today as God's children. Look at Luke now, chapter 14, and verse starting with verse 26. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. For whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth up the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war with another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, saints of God, Jesus is being very, very direct here. And he's being this is very radical. This is really an in-your-face type deliverance, because he is saying, look, I'm not giving you a gray area. I'm not giving you a neutral zone. I'm giving you the ultimate. And it really comes down to the ultimatum. If you're not willing to forsake all that you have, if you don't hate your life, your own life, and those that is tied to your life, see, you cannot, he said, you can't be my disciples. Notice he didn't even, and people say, because I can hear your voices that would say, well, what text is that in? Well, let's look at it. That's why we read the entire text. See, because Jesus, the text is dealing with, do we love Jesus more than we love ourselves? Do we love Jesus more than we love men, women? Do we love Jesus more than we love things? Do we love Jesus? Because, see, we have to die in order to live. We have to die to self. We have to die to everything that made up that old life. Let me say this. God don't want nothing of your old life. God don't need to take that old life and make something out of that and use that old life in your new life. No, he doesn't need anything. He makes us anew. Now, let me say this again. When I talk about that, we're not talking about, you know, your knowledge of things that you've learned and been trained and lived in the due process of life. We're not talking about that because, see, we understand Moses was trained out in Egypt and God used him in that training was also beneficial in him governing the people of God as God called him to lead them out of Israel. See, we're all being trained for kingdom purposes. But God says you must be willing to forsake everything that you have or that makes up you. You must be willing to forsake all of that and come to the point of total death in order for you to really live and follow him. Because if you're not willing to forsake all of that, you will compromise. You will not go where God wants you to go. You will not say what God wants you to say, and you will not be what God wants you to be. Now, let's look at this here. Let's look at the scripture. Now, let's flip over to Acts, because we're going to be going all through the book of Acts, but we will also have references throughout the scriptures. So if you're listening to us now, you know, eventually we're going to do a talk show where you can just actually call in. I have an open line now that you can call in, and we'll be able to take questions and whatnot through this broadcast. But right now we're just not going to open the line for call-ins because we want to lay a good foundation. And once this foundation is laid, then we may take some open lines and do some call-ins and do some live two-way talk. Now, but let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start at the very beginning of the chapter and just go through it verse by verse, allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, that being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, I want to talk about this because we're going to go through this study. Now, you know, I'm a very passionate fella as well, and I believe that all of us have some passion. I don't believe that we just are as laid back as we seem to be or perhaps even want people to believe us to be. All of us have some passion. Just let the right thing come along that tugs at our heart, and we'll see real quick the passion that we have for that thing that we're so in love with. So I'm just thankful that when I look into this word, I see things. When I look into this word, I hear. And what I've just heard here is that there's something here that escapes many in the body of Christ, and that is the kingdom of God. Jesus spent time teaching them about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I asked the question in the last week, do you understand the kingdom? Because if you don't understand the kingdom, then you don't understand how it operates. You don't understand what the principles of operations in the kingdom is. Therefore, you will try to operate with the principles that operate in the world system, and that's what breeds frustration and dissatisfaction and ultimately failure. See, you got to understand the kingdom. So Jesus knew that he was leaving. He knew that he was going back to glory, and he knew that the disciples here would be left with a commission, that they had a job to do. They had a work to fulfill. They had his master plan in there delivered to them to carry out. And he knew that they could not carry that plan out if they didn't know how the kingdom operated, if they didn't understand the things pertaining to the kingdom. And he also knew that they couldn't carry that out if they didn't have the power infusing them to do so. So he says to them, first of all, I'm going to teach you the things pertaining to the kingdom. Secondly, I want you to wait. I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the promise of my Father. I want you to wait until until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I want you to be empowered, because you can't do this work without me. You can't do this work without my anointing. You can't fulfill the purpose. You can't fulfill the vision. You can't make disciples. You can't apart from me. So I want you to wait until I send the promise, until you receive the anointing of God in the power of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And that's key to any ministry. That's key to any preacher. That's key to any evangelist. That's key to any songster. You know, we have traded, listen to me for a moment, Zion, we have traded skills for anointing. We have become a church that doesn't resemble anything like the church in the book of Acts. And I know that's a broad statement, but I won't take it back. Because I tell you, when I look at the church in the book of Acts, it's exciting. When I look at the church in the book of Acts, it is in your face. When I look at the church in the book of Acts, men, women stood firmly in the gospel and delivered the truth unadulterated. They didn't sugarcoat this. They didn't sweeten it up for this person. They did not compromise it, because they knew whom they believed in, and they were prepared for any opposition, and they didn't love their own lives unto death. So I want to say to you that are listening, are you of that sort that do not love your life unto death and prepared for all the scrutiny, all the persecution, all of the resistance that can come as a result of you being a radical man or woman of God that's been so in love with God that you don't care nothing about the world? Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Now, I know I'm going to get some pushback. I know people are going to say, well, you know, Bishop, I know we got to be this way. I know we got to be that way, but we got to take it easy, because we can't offend people. We can't. Listen, I hope that you will understand that the gospel that we have been delivered offended people all along the way. It didn't come without offending people. So that's nothing new. But that didn't change how they delivered the message, nor did it change the message. It was the high priest that got offended. It was the Pharisees that got offended. The Sadducees got offended. All the religious groups got offended. So what are we worried about today? It takes us willing to die to ourselves. We bear the risk of being hated by the very people we love. Because we must have one allegiance, and that allegiance must be to God. Oh, bless the Lord. Now, let's look at this here. Look what he says. So he says, I want you to go there, and I want you to stay there, and I want you to receive the promise. And verse 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So they're still looking for this natural, materialistic thing. And now listen, listen to the Holy Spirit right there. Listen to the Holy Spirit right there, because he just said something. That's where most of the church still is today. We're looking for material things. We're so wrapped up in materialistic things, we even measure our success or our blessings in God by the abundance of material things we have. Now, I'm not talking to the heathen man. I'm not talking to the man down there, down on the corner. But I'm talking to those of us that are sitting in the kingdom of God. Those of us that have been born again, our appetite is still craving for things that is not supposed to be a part of a man or woman in the kingdom of God, not supposed to be a part of their life. Listen, we got to die. And a dead man wants nothing. A dead man fears nothing. A dead man doesn't care how people perceive him. A dead man doesn't sign when you slap him. A dead man cannot be hurt. So when we forsake all, like Jesus said, there's nothing else we have. So nobody can misuse us because we have nothing. See, we take ownership in nothing. I want you to see something at the very early goings of this lesson and this study, because it's a long book, but it's filled with powerful testimonies and some exciting, dynamic truths that will energize you and virtually change your life. So some of you have been living a life that you're saved, but you're miserable. You're in church, but you're not satisfied. You go to church religiously on Sunday. You listen to gospel on the radio and watch gospel on television, but you're miserable. You have no power, no authority, and you can't exercise the very power and authority that God gave us. So you're not happy, and you put on a false smile, and God said, look, you don't have to be that. With this, listen, this life is a life of joy. This life. Now let's define that, because see, I want you to understand something. Look, this is a blessing. It's a blessing to be in the kingdom. Let's go over back to Romans for a moment. Because he was teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom. Because they see, he wanted them to know. They talking about restoring a natural kingdom. Jesus Christ said, this is not about a natural kingdom now. This is far bigger than that. So let's look at Romans chapter 14, and let's look at the 17th verse. It says words like this: for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God. See, if he's talking to them about the kingdom, don't you know we ought to know what the kingdom is? The kingdom of God is righteousness. The kingdom of God is peace. The kingdom of God is joy. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me when I'm walking in the kingdom, I'm walking in righteousness. When I'm walking in the kingdom, I'm walking in peace. Peace is a time of no conflict. Peace is a time, and I know. Listen to me for a moment. I hear the voices now. Peace, because you say, well, you mean you don't have any conflict? No, I'm talking about we have external conflict, but the peace that God is talking about is a peace within. That any external conflict cannot disturb the peace that is on the inside. That's why the scriptures give you peace beyond any understanding. Because this peace is the kingdom. And the kingdom is guarded by the king. Oh, bless his name. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Because he's the Lord of the church. And he guards the church. So when you're walking in the kingdom, you ain't got to worry about it. Oh, bless the Lord. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, bless his name. That's why. You see, we recite those scriptures, but we don't really believe them for our own lives. Because if we believe that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want, no matter what state we're in, we'll be content. Not content just to be there and not strive to get better, but content that we won't do the wrong thing for personal gratification and satisfaction. See, and so that just means something like this. I may be hungry, but I'm not going to steal to satisfy that hunger. I'm not going to rob you to satisfy my hunger. See, I won't do the wrong thing. Jesus was hungry, but he wasn't going to do the wrong thing to satisfy that hunger. So, see, when we got this peace, and we're walking in the kingdom, we're walking in righteousness, we're walking in peace, and then we're walking in a joy that just springs up. You know, it's a well of joy. It just springs up. People say, why are you so happy? Because Jesus. Why are you so happy all the time? Because I love the Lord. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, it can't be that simple. Man, the kingdom is righteousness. Now, just think about it. When you're walking in right standings with God, why would you be at peace? Why would you enjoy the peace then? And when you are in peace, why would you have joy? I mean, just think about that. So when I go to and fro, it doesn't matter if I'm on the job, it doesn't matter where we are. I mean, I can't have these downer days. I mean, I'm not here to preach Jerome Jones. I'm here to preach to Christ. But it's the Christ that gives me this joy. It's the Christ that gives me this peace. And it's the Christ that brings me in right relationship and keeps me in right standing with him. That's what we want to glory in. Because you and I, when we come to this place where we understand this kingdom principle, the principles that operate in the kingdom, and we sell out to the God of our salvation, dying to self, we become an unstoppable force in the world. Then the church will have relevancy to the culture, to the community, country, worldwide, as it was relevant in the first century. So I want to say to you again, are you a member of the church that we see in the book of Acts? Do you want that? Listen, I'm Bishop Jones. I got to start closing this segment. We're just going to do 30-minute clips, and we're going to come back and do another 30-minute clip. So if you see these clips, look for part three. I believe this is going to be part three or part what it is. But just kind of follow along with it. Take some notes when you look at a clip, and then when you come back, just make sure that it's you're able to pick up the next clip. They will be in archive, and they'll be also on blogtalkradio.com. You'll be able to just click on the link and get the broadcast. So, again, we want to thank you for listening today. We're going to pick up right here when we come back, talking about walking in the kingdom. Now, we're in the book of Acts. We've come to about 8 verses or so. And we'll be back for another study as we continue this study throughout the book of Acts. Listen, I'm Bishop Jerome Jones, and I count it a privilege to be able to come this way to you. Trust that you have a very Jesus, and also join me again. Remember, we love you, and we're praying for you. God bless.